Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
Parasites, disease, and invasive species have been wreaking havoc on America's forests for decades. In the last century, a blight nearly wiped out the American chestnut tree. Dutch elm disease continues to wipe out vast numbers of trees, and now the emerald ash borer, a beetle from Asia, has killed some 50 million trees. Now it's threatening the forests from which logs are drawn to make baseball bats. Tom Temin got an update on federal efforts to help baseball and its bats from John Considine, a materials research engineer at the Forest Service's Forest Products Laboratory.
It's starting to affect them, but it's not affecting the supply in terms of how Major League Baseball is. You know, Major League Baseball is not responsible. Bat suppliers are the ones that go out and harvest the wood and select the quality of the wood for Major League Baseball. I really don't envision it being a problem for Major League Baseball. First of all, because, you know, bats cost between $100 and $150 a piece.
No kidding.
And so they're a high value item. So there's always going to be people that are going to want to supply that expensive material to bat suppliers.
Sure. And as a material, from that standpoint, what's the difference between ash and maple?
Yeah, so they're both very good hardwoods. They're similar in many ways. So they're very stiff and very resilient. And by resilient, we mean that they can take repeated impacts and bounce back and have the same performance. They have good rebounds, so they can launch the ball very well. And like I said, they can be reused repeatedly. Some players can go through almost an entire season with a single bat.
And what about bat shattering? That was on the rise for a while, but I think the Forest Service actually worked with baseball to figure out ways to, I guess, mill the wood such that fewer smash-ups would happen when they made contact with the ball.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Tom, because it just turns out that a certain player back in the year 2000, who will remain unnamed, but all your baseball fans will know, hit an awful lot of home runs, in fact, set the home run record, using a maple bat, and that sent baseball players into a tizzy to try to emulate his performance.
They might have been judging the wrong variable.
Well, actually, no. A lot of things changed, and they were all changing at the same time. For instance, ballparks became slightly smaller. The value of a home run in terms of economic value to the entertainment value of the game increased. So in other words, batting average sort of declined, but home runs became more prevalent. Strikeouts, the amount of strikeouts didn't become as important. And so they needed the material to be able to hit those home runs. Well, one person hits a home run, it may or may not have been involved with material, but that sort of switched the game. The problem was that the people that were supplying bats, the bat suppliers, while they were experts in ash, they weren't experts in maple. It turns out it's a significantly different material, slightly more brittle, but also, interestingly, it has its strong direction 90 degrees different than ash. And so they were actually putting the trademark in the wrong location. They didn't pay close enough attention to grain angle and things like that. So Major League Baseball contacted the laboratory in 2008 and said, we've got this problem with broken bats. And, of course, it's not the problem with bats breaking. The problem is safety. So particularly for the fans, but also for players and team personnel and umpires. And among other things, they don't want to have the game affected by broken bats. Does a defensive player have to dodge out of the way of a flying bat shard in order to make a play? And does it reduce his ability to make the play? So all those sorts of things came into effect. And so based on, I'll say, 100 years of wood science here at the Forest Products Laboratory, we were able to help the bat suppliers better select the maple in terms of grain angle and in particular density of the maple. And with those restrictions and a few other things put in place, Major League Baseball has had a dramatic decline in the number of what we call multi-piece failures. So those are the ones we're worried about in terms of safety.
We're speaking with John Considine. He's a materials research engineer at the Forest Products Laboratory at the U.S. Forest Service. And I guess your operation there, the Forest Products Laboratory, helps a lot of domains with materials, including the federal government itself. Tell us about some of those projects.
Yeah, so really the mission of the Forest Service, you know, the Forest Service budget has sort of changed dramatically in the last 30 years in that the number of forest fires has dramatically increased. And that's both a direct expense in terms of billions of dollars to the American taxpayer, but also in terms of, you know, lost possibilities for that. So one of the things that we do here at the Forest Products Laboratory is figure out how to get that wood out of the forest in terms of reducing the number of forest fires, but also in terms of making products that increase the economic activity in the United States. So we work on, at the laboratory, we work on everything from what we call neat cellulose materials, so materials that are made of, out of 100% cellulose fibers. Now, cellulose fiber is the building block of trees. Any plant, cellulose is the most abundant polymer in the world. Any plant that stands upright has cellulose. It just turns out that trees are made up of about 40% cellulose, and it's a very, very strong and very stiff fiber and good for making materials out of. In fact, the Egyptians and the Chinese figured out how to make paper out of it, and it became a very good substrate for maintaining written records, and that's continued on to this day. So we've worked on ways of improving the collection of cellulose out of the trees and making sure it's a quality paper so that these papers can last for a long time. We've done work with the Library of Congress in doing acid-free papers. We work on currency. We've done work on stamp paper. Recently, there's been a very large national effort in terms of former President Obama's initiative in nanomaterials. So we work in nanocellulose, which is almost the most fundamental building block of cellulose, just one step up from the molecule itself, and trying to create some interesting materials with that, including flexible electronics and things like that.
So maybe someday you could bridge all of this together and manufacture a bat out of microcellulose that could last forever.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't that be interesting, Tom? I'd love to be able to try that. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, the reason is because just from a materials research point of view, cellulose is too stiff. We need the other material in the wood, the lignin, which is sort of a soft polymer, and the hemicellulose, to make it a little bit softer, because with just cellulose in there, the bat's going to break in half almost on the single impact.
Or else it would stay together and break somebody's wrists.
Or break the ball. Take the cover right off the ball or something.
That would be interesting. Well, we don't care what baseball players use as long as it's not aluminum.
There we go. We like to have the sound of the bat. We like the sound, but also, baseball is a very historical sport. And we don't want to do too many things in terms of equipment that would affect how the game is played.
And by the way, are you a fan yourself?
I'm a big fan. Yeah, I enjoy, coached my kids up through Little League and through high school. I was fortunate to have two sons that did play some time in college, but I've always been a Major League Baseball fan. And so, yeah, it's been a joy for me to be able to work on this project and see it from, sort of an area outside of my personal interest.